Blog Talk Radio.
I can't hear you.
Oh, praise God. I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. Okay, let's try this again. God bless you and welcome to Prophetic Wood Ministries, Marriage on Fire. We are blessed and highly favored to be here with you today. I am thankful and giving God praise for all that he's doing and will do. And I first want to acknowledge our panel that is here today. Amen. And first, I want to acknowledge my husband and apostle, Apostle Marcus Smith. God bless you, dear. How are you today?
Phenomenal. God is good. Glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to acknowledge my co-host for this broadcast, Prophetess Doris Holmes. How are you, Mother Doris?
Hey, how are you doing, Prophetess? Hey, Apostle. How are you?
Phenomenal. How are you, Brother?
Awesome.
Awesome. And then we also have Pastor Natasha James coming out of North Carolina, the powerful woman of God from Mona Ministries, also part of the Prophetic Wind team. Can you say hello to the people, woman of God?
Well, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that it was in me, I will bless the Lord. How's everybody doing today? I think I heard Apostle say phenomenal. Hallelujah. And I think I heard Mother Doris say awesome. Hallelujah. So I give you all greetings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we are here today talking about the topic of marriage and how to rekindle having a marriage that is on fire. Amen. And I've told you the revelation that I have about marriages that are on fire. Marriages that are on fire are marriages that are kept. You can't just light a fire and expect it just to burn. You've got to keep adding kindling. You've got to keep fanning that flame. You got to keep that fire brewing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So today we are going to discuss the marriage language. The last two broadcasts we discussed just laying a quick foundation of godly marriage and how God can help us to establish marriage and our roles in marriage, okay? But today we're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about how we can misinterpret things sometimes at times. We're gonna just talk about some situations as all of us have found ourselves in the realm of marriage, amen, some situations that may have been avoided and some situations that could have been better if the communication skills were better, amen. So that is where our mind is going to go, and we're going to just kind of allow the Lord to take us there, amen. And so today I actually went online and I took the five language marriage test, and we've done this before, my husband and I. And I decided, well, I'm just going to take the test real quick and see what it says. And so basically it told me what I know. Myself, personally, I love quality time, which is my number one thing. Like, if I could cuddle and watch a movie every day with my hubby, I would be the happiest camper in the world. Wherein someone else, their love language may be, gifts. You know, a person who likes gifts. And so today we're going to talk about what sparks you, what gives you those butterflies in your stomach when your mate is with you, okay? So I'm going to let the man of God kind of start, just because he's on the panel for a reason, that we got to get rid of all this estrogen, right? So I'm going to ask the man of God what he feels, sparks his interest and helps him in communication within marriage.
I think what sparks me it is, you know, knowing that I have someone that I can trust, someone that is truly a helpmate. I think I'm not going to speak for all men, but if most men feel like they have to be the provider, and if we're doing the providing, then we feel like, now I'm going to speak for myself, I feel like if the home is kept, if the kids are taken care of, you know, and by no means am I actually saying that my wife should be a slave or a servant. That's not godly. I do laundry. I wash dishes. I change diapers. I do all that.
He does.
But and if there's any man out there that does not do that, shame on you. Because it took two of y'all to bring that child into this world. It takes two of y'all to raise that child up, and it takes two of y'all to take care of that child. I just want to say that, you know, throw that out there. So, and my name is Apostle Marcus Smith. You can reach me at smithdag2@hotmail.com. You got any questions?
Amen, man, God.
And, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and I'm still learning, first off, I'm still learning what it is to actually be a husband, let alone a godly husband, because that's two totally different things. Being a husband is one thing, but being a godly husband, a man after Christ, a man made in Christ's image, after his likeness, for his glory, in a marriage is something totally different than just being a husband that you're taught to be when you're a little kid or when you're growing up, and what you see on TV or in the neighborhood or in your home as you were growing up. That's not necessarily what a godly husband is. A godly husband is a husband who loves unconditionally, you know, and also one who has Christ first and foremost in his life. You can't have a marriage without the God who instituted marriage. If you can't have a successful marriage without the God who instituted it as one man and one woman. You can't have a godly marriage without God. So what keeps me going is knowing, one, that my wife is a woman of God, number one, first and foremost. That is what gets me, knowing that my wife loves my God just as much as I do, if not even more. To me, that being her number one priority, everything else is gonna line up. Secondly, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. It's all about compromising. And I'm not talking about compromising our beliefs. I'm talking about compromising those preconceived notions that we had about marriage when we first got married. When we thought we knew what marriage was. It's about compromising, laying down those preconceived notions, laying down those concepts that were instilled in us as children by parents and teachers and television, Hollywood. You know, marriages are not made in Hollywood. A godly marriage is created by the Word of God and by willingness of the husband and the wife to allow God to come in and make the two become one. Now, I want to speak also regarding you mentioned the fire. My wife and I separated for 7 years, but we never divorced. And as long as the marriage is still going, God can still rekindle the fire. Divorce is the death of marriage. So as long as there's life in the marriage itself, God didn't honor my wife and myself. He honored the institution of marriage. And as long as our marriage was still intact, He was able to breathe on it, reconcile us, and bring us to where we are right now. If we had divorced, that would have prevented God from any opportunities to reconcile what He started.
Amen. You know,
may I ask Apostle a question?
Because
this is really going to encourage somebody today. You said you guys were separated how many years?
7 years.
Now, my question to you is, what made you not take that route of that D word, divorce?
Because, when I was a child, I saw my mom and my dad have struggles, and I saw them go through things, but they never gave up. Never, ever, 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 ever gave up. And to me, in my mind, I had role models. And my mom and my dad and my grandma and my grandpa, who never gave up regardless of how tough the times got. They didn't always agree on everything. Let me say this, too. Marriage is not always agreed. Sometimes my wife and I just have to agree to disagree on certain things. And that's okay, because men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And until God brings us to that same revelation on that subject, it's okay to disagree. We don't have to be agreeing on everything, but we do have to agree on the basic things of our household and our children and our God. What kept me from divorcing my wife, and what kept her, is we've seen in our families, regardless of how hard it got, they never gave up. 7 years separated, we were still friends, and it wasn't until God saved me and showed me what love was, what unconditional love was, that I understood how to operate within a family. He reconciled our family, and He's still teaching us how to work this thing out, how to walk this thing out day after day, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week.
Wow.
As long as you never give up, God won't give up on you.
Amen.
And I've shared the testimony many times that it was my husband who God touched his life and got a hold of him, who began to pray for me and to pray for our family. And he began to see the manifestation of his prayers in our lives, which then sparked a relationship with God in my life, which then allowed God to get a hold of both of us together. Amen. And so, we have an understanding that the Lord allowed our marriage to be a sign and a wonder on the earth, to let people know not only can God fix it, He can make it better than it ever was.
Amen.
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 So, absolutely. Does Pastor Natasha or Mother Doris have anything to add?
No, what really stuck out, what the apostle said to me, was that, you know, you guys were talking about how God had touched his heart and God had pushed him into prayer on your behalf, prophetess,
mm-hmm. yes.
to cover you. That's powerful.
That is. Amen. That is.
Amen. Amen. And so, and we're going to see a lot more of that. You know, one of the things that this program was birthed out of was a promise that I heard from God that he was going to begin to restore family. And I have an understanding that God's family is being restored. Our individual families are being restored. We are returning to a heart of community. Amen. And so no longer is my sister out there by herself battling for her marriage. No, we're going to grasp hands. We're going to pray. We're going to war together for your marriage. No longer is that man of God out there frustrated with his hands thrown up. And this is an inside joke to my husband, but, you know, with his hands thrown up saying, I give up, you know. No, we're gonna be there. We're going to be praying. We're going to be interceding. We're going to be believing that your marriage will be better than it was the day you said, I do. You're going to look into your spouse's eyes again and see that love, that compassion, that I have to spend the rest of my life with this person. You're going to be there and then some because the Lord has done a work in you and in your life and in your marriage. Now, we were hitting on just the communication in marriage. Now, one thing I mentioned to last week is when you embark on a journey of I'm going to save my home, I'm going to save my marriage, and this is definitely speaking to and resoluting with more than just those that are married as well. But when you get to that point where you're saying, okay, I want to be a good wife and I want to be a great husband, and God begins to you know, put that mirror in front of you, one of the things you realize is that everybody does not communicate the same, right? What means I love you to me may not mean I love you to the next woman or man, right?
Amen.
Yes. Right, amen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, basically they say that there is five love languages, and one of those is, you know, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, and those who like to receive gifts. Now, I've never been a gift receiver, but I've never minded a gift. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, a nice gift wrapped in a package will do me some good, too. But we understand that love is an action word. So the love languages are action, right?
Uh-huh.
I look at this. I remember when me and my husband first reconciled, and things were, you know, I mean, we started off pretty, you know, humble. As a matter of fact, we were like in a one little one bedroom apartment, and okay, but we were so happy. And I remember a day in particular, and I told you I'm a quality time person, but I remember we were listening to, remember, honey, Kirk Franklin's Brighter Day. I don't know if you guys have heard that song before, but we were listening to that song, and me and my husband and my son, we're up, we're dancing, we're praising the Lord and just thanking God because it's me, my husband, and my son after 7 years of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I remember that like it was yesterday because it was like I didn't care that we only had one can of beans and a bag of rice in the kitchen. I didn't even care because it was me, my husband, and my son. Apostle, do you want to touch on that?
I think sometimes sometimes we overlook, you know, the small things. And like you said, we all have different love languages, all different communications. Different things means different to me, anytime you get to, you know, anytime you can spend quality time, and it's just, I don't know, because I come from a background where family is important to me, that, and that's the most important ministry that God has given me is my family. And there is nothing that will ever replace that, regardless of how many times we go around the world, across the country, regardless of how many other lives we touch. God has given us a family to impact for the rest of their lives. And to me, you know, those moments are special. Those moments that can't be taken away. And, you know, it's amazing that God has brought us to this place, because we did come from humble beginnings. We did come from, not that we're anything in now anyway, but he's brought us a long way from where we started. And it was because, I do want to touch on, since you did mention it, the throwing up of your hands and saying, I surrender, or I give up, or I'm done. That was a cry to God for help. That was me throwing my hands up, because sometimes we can try to figure it out and we get frustrated because things aren't working out the way we think they should. But God, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, whose ways are higher than our ways, wants us to throw our hands up and say, because I know the Lord said, finally, now I can do something. Because now you've surrendered and you've gotten out of the way. Let me show you what I can do. And it was at that moment when I threw my hands up and said, Lord, I'm done, that God started moving in our marriage, in our family, in our life, in our finances. He started moving because I got out of the way.
Yes.
I want to say this to all the men and women out there, all the husbands and wives out there. You are not your family's source. You're not your family's resource. It always has been, and it always will be God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, Apostle. And you guys, you know what? I look at it as when you were talking about when you throw your hands up, and I always call those moments in the Holy Ghost, I call them arrested development moments in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Because you
like
me.
Yes.
That's what I've got to do. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to depend on him, because he has the answer. He has the solution. He has it for us. And that's all he wants us to do, is just to throw our hands up. That's awesome. That's awesome what you said, Apostle. And also, when you were talking about when those times when that moment when it was you and your husband and your son, Prophetess, and I thought of it as if it's like a snapshot in time where those moments you'll never forget. You know, you have many memories in your marriage, and many times in your marriage when you're going through things, but there's always things that you're going to be able to look back on and reflect on with the joy of the Lord. And that's those little snapshots in time that God gives us, and we're able to cherish those moments.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If I could, I want to go back to what Prophetess Smith said about just the joy she had from being in that place when you all reconciled. You said you had, it was you, your husband, your son, and you didn't care what you all had. You had a one-bedroom apartment, and that was more than enough. And, I thank God for that, because when you really get down to the essence of what is really important.
Yes.
It doesn't take a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear people talk to me and come saying, you know, that I just don't want this anymore, and he's not doing this and she's not doing that. And these people are living in $300,000 and $400,000 homes, $200,000 homes. They have bank accounts, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 just bank accounts, just money just sitting. And there's hiding money from each other and doing all this and that, and their children wearing the best.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just get down to what's important, it should be just those people, the husband, the wife, and the children.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's subtract out all that other stuff. Let's just subtract all of that out. Let's subtract all the way. Let's get down to the one-bedroom apartment. Can we just be in love with being in love with our spouse?
And
allowing our children to have a security of a mama and a daddy.
Yeah.
That's security for
come
a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Security for a child is not how many Jordans you can put on their feet. And security for a woman is not all the gifts you can buy her.
Right.
A woman wants to know that she has a man's heart. And a man wants to know that the woman he chose has his heart and that he can trust her with it. Amen.
Amen.
So let's just get down to that.
Amen.
So I said all that to say that was so huge for me. You said you were singing
Amen.
It's going to be a brighter day. In your one-bedroom apartment with your bag of rice and your bag of beans. Come on now. That's love. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
My God. Take all the other stuff away, and what do we have? Do we have love or not?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
When you really think about it, when we meet our spouses, most of the time we're trying to build a life. We're trying to make our way, especially if you meet your spouse early on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have all those things.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's
that's
just go
true.
Back to what I first fell in love with. Let's just go back to
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen.
And I tell women that I work with, because they're always talking about, Miss Tasha, how do you find, where do I meet a nice man? Where do I go? And I said, honey, you have to, when you meet a person, and you're talking about dating a person, I said, you don't need to look at what they have.
Ooh,
you need to look
now.
At the character
come on
they
now.
Possess.
Yes.
Come on now.
What kind of
come
character
on.
Does this person have?
Thank you.
All right, when you go out to eat, can he look a person in their eye and place an order? Is he rude? Is he nasty? Because if you continue to be involved with this person and it leads to marriage, how he's treating people around him is probably how he's going to treat you.
Amen.
You have to look at the character
come
of
on.
A person.
So
come
who
on.
They are.
Come on.
You know, and I tell people, there's certain things that I knew about my husband when we were dating, and I had to ask myself, okay, can you deal with that? My husband got a smart mouth. I tell anybody that. I mean, he can pop one off on you real quick. But the core of his being, the very core of him and who he is, he's gentle, he's sweet, he's humble, he'll give you anything he got, he's a loving person. That's his character. That's who he is. Day in, day out, he don't change. So when you go back to the if we ever had to go back to the one-bedroom apartment, I would have his character with me, not all of our stuff. I love his character. I love who he is. I love that he loves God.
Mm.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Let's put our love in that one-bedroom apartment, and let's just fall in love. Oh, my God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. Let me sit down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I
hey,
love
you know,
what you said. You were jumping around singing with just the
yes.
so simplistic. Yes. And it was so pure. Oh, I love that. Okay, I'm done.
Pastor Natasha, what you said is so powerful, because so many times when people, before they get married, they do worry about how much a person has, what they don't have. They don't take time to consider, does this person love kids the way I love kids? Do they want kids the way I want kids? And if you already have kids, are they going to love my kids? Are they going to accept my kids as much as they accept me, be that male or female? So those are conversations that need to be had prior to getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and you
as
know
you
what?
Stated,
oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. I'm sorry to interrupt. that's one thing.
No worries.
My husband and I, we remarried, okay? So mm-hmm. he had two children already, and I had my daughter. I had one, my daughter. When we were going out to lunch with each other, we used to go out to lunch. He would take me to lunch because we worked together. And I remember one day at lunch, he told me, he said, I am holy and I keep my body holy. He told me that. Then he went on and kept talking, and he said, and my two boys are the most important thing in my life right now. So, and I saw not just in speech, but how he treated his children. So when we were spending time with each other, because we weren't dating right then, when we were spending time with each other, he would take me to lunch every day. Just conversation, we eat, talk, you know, hang out. Then when it got to the point after he had had all those conversations with me, then he took me out and asked me, could he date me? Now, when he said, can I date you? Can we date each other? He mean nobody else. But I had gathered all that information about his character when we were hanging out, spending time with each other. Do you see?
Absolutely.
A lot of
Absolutely.
People just jump in to see what you got.
That's right. That's right. That's
they
right.
They don't look at who you are. See? But you're right, Apostle. When you bring in children, I wanted to know, was he going to love my daughter? Was he a perv? You know, I was looking.
And you, exactly. Exactly. That's real talk.
So,
that's real talk. It's not being judged, brother. That's real talk. Because kids are a precious commodity that God has given us charge over. We have to protect them like they are a treasure. And we cannot just let anybody handle our children. And that's what's wrong in our country today. There is not enough attention and not enough protection for our children. Not in our school system, not in the neighborhood, nowhere. And that has to change.
And you know what? I wanted my daughter to see a man truly. I wanted her to see my husband an example of somebody to love me, right? I wanted her to have that experience of growing up in a home with a loving husband and wife, right? I wanted her to see that. I didn't want her to see all this other stuff, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I had to look at his character and who he was. You know, I had to look at that and how he was going to treat me. You know, going back to the communication piece, if you don't mind me just putting this on in here, I have three, talk, time, and touch, right? Talk, time, and touch. Can you touch my heart? You know, can you touch my heart? Are you able to be kind to me and touch my heart? I like to talk and have just general conversation. You know, it may come a time when there's a hard conversation to be had, but if we can talk about it, oh, that just strikes a fire within me, okay? And just spending that time with one another, you know, whether it be quality time, good times, bad times, prayer time, and that's a great one for me. You know, that's a place where I am just believing God that an area that we will grow even the more, prayer time, family time, and also, of course, that one-on-one time. Those things right there, to me, are vital in a marriage. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And, Pastor, I have to completely agree. And we talked about this. We hit on it a little bit last week, and I just want to kind of roll back just a little bit because I think you touched on something that is so important, and that is getting to know the person that you decide you're going to marry. I believe a lot of times people jump into marriage not realizing what marriage entails, what it's going to take to make it to be a successful marriage. Like my husband said, he grew up with parents that it didn't matter what happened, we're going to fight through this. I was actually raised by my grandparents, but I grew up with that model of, you know, you don't give up, you don't surrender, amen. You keep fighting for one another, you keep fighting for your family. And a lot of young couples, they get married and they hear your husband and now you were wife at the end of the marriage vows and don't realize that there is a process to becoming that wife and becoming that husband. And you just mentioned something that is key in that mix. Like I'm thinking of like a recipe for the best cake in the world, right? There's key ingredients for that mix, right? And so I think of character as being your flower. You have to have good character, godly character, right? Because if you have a jacked up attitude, your marriage is going to be pretty miserable. Correct, honey?
I agree. Who is it something
Absolutely.
You can put up with? Can you put up with that till death do you part?
Right.
I mean, you got to look at that.
Oh, let me touch on that one. Now, till death do you part. Till death do you part. I don't know what part of that we're not getting in today's society. When you take a marriage vow, it is to death for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, to death do you part.
Yeah.
God is not giving us a way out. He's not giving us a free pass to go get divorced. To death do you part. That does not mean, let me go ahead and say this, that does not mean you get to kill your spouse off just to get out of your marriage. That means whatever comes, you work through it. Whatever comes, you stand still together. You walk it out, you work it out, you trust God, and you keep going. One moment at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, whatever it is you got to do, you keep going till death do you part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
You know, for my husband and I, we've actually been tested on that part of the vows 3 times in our marriage already. And unfortunately, with me who had the issue of dying, no heartbeat, no breath, can somebody do CPR? We had incidents in our marriage where the vows of sickness and disease were absolute, right? And so when those times come, when it's no longer the honeymoon period and your husband is in need of you or your wife is truly in need of you, those are the times when you have to undergird yourself and say, you know what, I love this man when he was in health. I have to love this man when he is in sickness. I have to love this man when he is wealthy. I have to love this man when he is broke. I have to love this man when I don't like what he had to say. I got to love this man. And so these are the types of quality you want to have in your till death do you part.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I always give my husband kudos. You know, I try to be a cheerleader, but I always give him kudos because one of the times that we were tested, I mean tested, this is only one time, we're gonna bring out an example, was when I had the car accident and broke my neck and had to have surgery, and it was 4 months after we had just had a brand new baby. And I looked at my husband, broken neck and all, halo, you know, just had a C-section months ago. Now I'm having another major surgery 4 months later. And not to mention the car accident. Now we got to get the car repaired. And now there's a big, lawyers involved and all this stuff there. And I looked at my husband with his beautiful broad shoulders, and I watched him lift all of that and keep it moving. And I remember praying to the Lord and saying, wow, Lord, look at this man. This man has not missed a beat. He was there. He was there before the surgery. He was there by my bed when I was in recovery. He was there holding the baby when the baby was crying. He was paying the bills. Come on now. And I
watch
my husband and his beautiful broad shoulders pick up all of that, including me, and carry me through to the next place where God was able, where I was able to sustain myself in the Lord. And so this is an understanding that we have to have, correct, Pastor, that there are things that come in to pick your mate up and pick them up and walk them through it.
Uh-huh.
You may have to
yeah.
pick up that burden. The word tells us to be one another, bear one another's burdens, and we sometimes we don't even relate that to the marriage relationship. But you may have to pick your mate up and carry them through, just like on a battlefield.
Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
I look
true.
At it. I look at things now. As God has birthed the wife. When we were young, when my husband and I were young, you know, hey, wife had a different, it didn't have the meaning that it has today. Husband
Amen.
Uh-huh. didn't have the meaning that it has
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Because we've weathered some battles, we've weathered some storms. Amen.
And we've grown. You grow into
yes.
it. It's not something that that somebody can put on you. Nobody can make you a husband. No one can make you a wife. You grow into that. When we are born, we're children. We're babies. We grow up into toddlers. We grow up there. We go through the preteen years. Then we're teenagers. Then we're young adults. And then we're adults. And then we continue to grow. At each stage of our lives, we pick something up that we need for that stage, not losing what we've already learned. So we're taking each step of the way, we're learning some things, and we're taking
uh-huh.
those things into the next stage, and we're using everything that we've learned for that current stage, because that's the process that God has given us to walk out. And marriage is the same way. Each day is a process. It's part of the process. It's part of the growing
uh-huh.
process. Because you got to remember that the end game of marriage is to be the example of Christ's marriage to the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now,
for God who continually perfects that good work in us is continually good work in our marriages as well. Our marriages can't grow if we don't grow. As we're growing, our marriage is growing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, one thing Pastor Natasha mentioned about the more money, more problems thing. You find people putting stuff in
mm-hmm.
place of where their love should be.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you're right, Pastor. We were okay with our bag of beans and our bag of rice because we had each other. Amen. But I do find that marriages where, and there's nothing wrong with being ambitious, and there's nothing wrong with having goals, setting goals, achieving your goals. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, we encourage that. Without a vision, we perish. Right. But there is a place for that, and it should never be in place of your love and affection for your mate. Does anybody want to hit on that? Okay, amen. Well, I just wanted to add that in because I think a lot